A man on a horse-drawn cart smiles as a stately black car passes him on a bend on a country road. Specks of dust dancing in a beam of light. Valletta, Malta, July 1968. A woman lifts a young girl above the heads of the people around her to afford her a better view. She says something to her, and the girl points and nods. Excited onlookers gather for a glimpse of an important visitor. The black car pulls up outside an imposing pillared stone building. Then a girl with rollers in her hair looks on excitedly from a raised viewpoint. A group of boys in the narrow street below are ushered aside as a young Prince Charles emerges from the back of the car into the sunlit street. Casually dressed in a short-sleeved blue shirt, Charles glances back from just inside a doorway, light catching his pensive profile. He puts a hand over his mouth as he continues inside. In less than a year's time, this young student will be formally invested as Prince of Wales. Charles's silhouetted entourage follow him into a brightly lit room. A life lived in the half shadows will emerge fully into the glare of the public gaze. Now, standing on the deck of a motor yacht, Charles has something pointed out to him as it tours Valletta's ancient harbour.
When did you first realise that you were not just an ordinary chap?
Charles, as a young man, staring straight into the camera, then projected onto the walls of a gallery, images of him as a baby with his mother and a small boy with his grandmother. This is the story of how a prince became a king, as recorded by film and TV cameras over 7 decades. With rare home movie footage and archive, some of it never seen before. Footage of Charles as a toddler and as a helicopter pilot, then a still of him sitting baby Harry on William's shoulders. And told in his own words. Flanked by images of Charles today in uniform and as a young boy, the title Charles R, The Making of a Monarch. Home movie footage of Charles as a small boy larking around in a sunlit garden.
And I do have, you know, very happy memories of childhood.
Rare and unseen home movies capture the private moments of a young family. The Queen filming Charles with a cine camera.
I remember when I was young, my parents both enjoyed the filming things.
Footage of Charles toppling over while pulling a wooden cart, then hiding behind a large rock in a game of hide and seek. Growing up, in inverted commas, lots of laughs. Black and white footage of the Queen encouraging her toddler son to walk by holding a tray of play bricks just out of reach. After a few faltering steps, he sinks down onto his knees.
I mean, I remember we used to have lots of laughs, so I could sometimes make her laugh anyway, which was always very jolly.
He giggles while having his tummy tickled. Then a corgi looks on as he diligently places items one by one into a drawer before closing it.
But my mama inevitably, you know, was so busy having to do all the tours abroad. I remember when I was quite young, trying to talk on the telephone when she was miles away.
Charles clutching a telephone receiver to him, then trying to place it back on its cradle. Now, watering plants in a garden.
And then, I think also spending a lot of time with my grandmother at Royal Lodge.
Charles holds a white blossom to his nose, then offers it to the camera.
There's a marvellous garden there, and I used to, as a child, potter about in the garden there, and the kitchen garden, and so on. I learned so much from her, of immense value in my life.
A small white dog exploring a patch of daffodils, then Charles marching around in a red suit with a drum around his neck. He poses with his grandfather.
When my mama succeeded and became queen, when my grandfather died so young, I ended up becoming heir to the throne aged 4.
Charles lying on the grass with his mother and sister, Anne.
It must have been a terrible shock in many ways. You can imagine at that age when presumably she'd hoped that she'd have a chance to do other things and, you know, bring up her family.
Charles in a red coat and riding cap posing beside a pony, then his mother smiling in a headscarf. Gun salute by Tower Bridge, then mounted soldiers in gold-braided uniforms. A pair of trumpeters in front of a Union flag. Horse-drawn coaches and carriages lined up to transport guests to the Queen's coronation, Winston Churchill among them. 2nd of June, 1953. Crowds cheer and wave as the procession passes. Coronation. In inverted commas, try and remember this.
I can just remember the actual coronation.
Anne on a rocking horse beside a window. Then the procession route thronged with onlookers waving and holding placards.
I remember my mama coming up when we were being bathed as children, wearing the crown. It's incredibly heavy. That's why my mama had to practice so much wearing it.
As the Queen's coach departs, Charles and Anne wave from a window in Buckingham Palace.
As a child, about 4 or 5, one tends to remember, silly things like being dressed up in a special suit of clothes. And the barber coming in and cutting one's hair much too short.
A woman in a turquoise suit accompanies Charles to a car. Then he's sitting between his mother and grandmother.
Particularly, I've never forgotten my grandmother. No, you know, she used to say things like, you know, darling, you must try and remember this.
When did you first realise that you were not just an ordinary chap?
Charles and Anne hiding their faces.
It's something that dawns on you in the most ghastly, inexorable way, that people are interested in one, and slowly you get the idea that you have a certain duty and responsibility.
The Queen tidies Charles's hair as he and Anne join their parents for a formal photograph.
How much influence has your father had on you? Is he as tough a disciplinarian inside the palace as he appears to be outside on occasions?
He was a strong character. He didn't suffer fools gladly. So if you said anything, you know, that was in any way ambiguous, he'd say, well, make up your mind, you know.
Charles running around in a kilt while his father fishes at the water's edge, then watching with Anne as Prince Philip stuffs kindling into a metal canister, which is soon belching smoke.
But he could be enormously encouraging, and he was very good at showing you how to do things.
Prince Philip showing Charles how to cast a fishing line. Then an older Charles and his father with their backs to the camera as they look out across the water from a boat deck. In turn, they each look over their shoulder and mouth something. A car passes a sign on a tree-lined approach that reads, Private Road, Gordonston. School days. In inverted commas, sink or swim. The austere-looking school building in black and white.
My father always went through the process of discussing where he thought, you know, I should go, which schools and all that. The trouble is, when you're young, you don't know what these places are like.
At schools in Scotland and Australia, the prince's education was spartan and physically challenging. Schoolboys running in just shorts and taking showers, then Charles helping to swab a boat deck.
Wasn't particularly easy. Good for the soul, good for the character, probably.
Boys being taught life-saving training on a beach.
But you either had to literally sink or swim.
Footage of older boys sweeping a dormitory and being served food by a younger pupil at a refectory table. Then a kilted Charles in a black and white school photo.
I suppose people think that because who you are, therefore they wouldn't dare fail you in anything. But it's not the case, because I failed my maths exam 3 times. I finally got it on the 4th attempt. And I can tell you that was no joke. That nearly finished me completely.
Cattle driving on horseback.
When I was in Australia at school, that was much, much tougher. I mean, I have the scars on my back, you know, to prove it.
Teenagers engaged in rough and tumble.
But at the end of it all, having done it, you really appreciated the value of the exercise.
Trekking across a shallow stream and swinging on ropes from trees.
The idea behind it is to challenge the person so that they find something within themselves they didn't realize existed. And this can have an electrifying effect on somebody. I know it had an effect on me. Having gone to Australia, I felt I could actually go and talk to somebody without them talking to me first. But it took quite a lot to go and do it. But the moment I did it, ever since then, I've never looked back.
A smiling Charles shaking hands with well-wishers behind a barrier, then waving at the top of aircraft steps. Now, a hovercraft glides ashore, and the royal family is greeted by dignitaries as they emerge from it. A suited man bows and shakes the Queen's hand. A clapperboard labelled Monarchy 69, then a man tapping a microphone. In 1968, as Prince Charles took on a more public role, a camera crew was given unprecedented access to the royal family. Royal Family was watched by over 30 million people. Some unseen footage is shown here for the first time.
Your grandfather, King George VI, once said, "We're not so much a family, we're more a firm." Do you feel a member of a firm?
The family firm. In inverted commas, you learn from each other. Charles and Anne helping their mother to decorate a Christmas tree.
I like to think of it more as a family rather than a firm, I think. I tend to think of my family as very special people.
Charles, his neat dark hair parted to the side, looks thoughtful as he works. A clapperboard snaps, then a bonfire in woodland.
And in that sense, I'm only beginning to see my parents and the rest of my family as other people, do you know what I mean? That you look upon them as having their own different characteristics.
With his father at his side, Charles steps forward to operate a machine minting coins.
It's a great help to have a lot of people all doing the same thing like that, because you can go and talk to them about it. You know, your own experiences and the amusing things that have happened. And you can learn a lot from each other.
Recently elected US President Richard Nixon visits the royal family.
Yes, I've seen them.
Sure you have.
Probably seen them on the
Charles.
Yes. Well, how are you? So happy to. See, I was just saying to Her Majesty, I've seen you on television.
I think it's mutual. I've seen you sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
Len?
Yes, you do.
Len, nice you've seen me on television.
Charles stepping into an aeroplane cockpit.
Another thing you've done, you've learned to fly.
The day I went on my solo, the instructor taxied to the end of the runway. And he suddenly climbed out and said, "You're on your own, mate." So there I was, and I only had time to have a few butterflies in my tummy. And then I taxied off and took off. And the moment I was in the air, it was absolutely marvelous.
Flying above fluffy clouds and farmland, then planes lined up outside a hangar. Charles's small red plane taxis to a stop.
And fortunately, I landed first time. That was the only worrying thing, because I had visions of myself going round and round and round until eventually the fuel ran out. But all was well.
Charles removes his helmet in the cockpit and tidies his hair. Now in black and white, an aerial view of a castle on the banks of a river. Ahead of his investiture as Prince of Wales, Charles learned Welsh at Aberystwyth University. Charles is greeted by a large crowd of both well-wishers and protesters.
When you came to Wales, of course, there was quite a lot of strong anti-English nationalist feeling. Were you at all apprehensive?
Investiture memories. In inverted commas, proud and humbling. Police arresting a protester.
When I went to Aberystwyth for a term, there's a lot of tension. I promise you, walking into the dining hall there, in the Hall of Residence, is not easy.
I don't blame people demonstrating like that. And you can't really expect people to be overzealous about the fact of having a so-called English prince.
Protesters holding placards. 1st of July, 1969. Crowds watch a platoon of Grenadier Guards marching up to the castle. The standard of the Prince of Wales is unfurled at the top of a flagpole.
And although the day was rather damp and grey, it was most exciting. I wasn't nearly as nervous as I thought. The music was superb and the colour was marvellous.
Charles walking side by side with his mother, then bowing his head before kneeling in front of her.
To kneel in front of my mama, to take the oath and so on. And then have this coronet, which was of a slightly revolutionary design, plonked onto my head.
Our most dear son, Charles Philip Arthur George, Prince of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Duke of Cornwall.
My mama busy dressing me rather like she did when I was small. The same expression on the face, you know, John.
And great steward of Scotland, Prince of Wales.
The Queen takes the scepter Charles is holding and passes it to someone.
And then you have to swear fealty, you know.
I, Charles, Prince of Wales, do become your liege man of life and limb, and of earthly worship.
But it was a very proud and moving and rather humbling moment, I thought. I get easily moved by those sorts of occasions.
The Queen holds Charles's hands and kisses him on the cheek as he stands. A trumpet fanfare is played from the battlements. Now black and white footage of huge crowds lining a cavalcade route.
But then I've never forgotten afterwards, because I went on for 3 days and did a tour of Wales. I mean, masses of people all the way for 3 days. I've never forgotten it.
A helicopter rises up from within the bowels of an aircraft carrier. A revolving radar antenna, then a flag showing a Union Jack set within the English Cross of St. George. Military service. In inverted commas, fear and enjoyment. A helicopter rising away from the aircraft carrier, then a squadron of them crossing a cloudy sky.
It's vital that those of us who find ourselves in this extraordinary position understand something of what our armed forces are expected to do, and it's much easier than to look them in the eye.
After university, Prince Charles joined the Royal Navy, training to command ships and fly helicopters. A small boy in a sailor suit points, then a fleet of warships sailing in a line.
When I was serving in the Navy, I wanted to, but it was encouraged anyway.
The boy leaning back against a deck rail, an aircraft carrier coming alongside, then Charles speaking into a radio.
I'm not somebody endowed with a great deal of overconfidence. I always believe if you're overconfident, you can lead yourself into all sorts of awkward situations.
On a ship's deck, Charles brings binoculars up to his eyes.
Sadly, when I had my ship, I always doubted that I was going to bring it alongside. And it was always a great pleasure when I did, without a disaster.
A warship docking beside another, overseen by Charles from the deck of one of them. Then four military helicopters coming into land, one after the other. Each has a different identification letter on its nose. Charles smiles and exchanges a few words with someone before climbing up into a helicopter cockpit. He flies into a misty mountainous area.
I like flying alone. It's more stimulating. And there's that superb mixture between fear and supreme enjoyment which comes over me. That marvellous panic when you don't really know quite where you are and you've got to sort it out for yourself.
He flies over snow-scarred peaks, shooting an assured glance at the camera. Now, he's helping to raise a large tent.
I never, although I can't obviously forget who I am, I never believed for one minute that I should use who I was to get my way or to order anybody to do anything because I'm who I am.
Dropping gas for somebody else to pick up.
I believe that the only way you can do anything is through any kind of respect that people may have for you as a person. You know, the only problem is, of course, when I get put an army uniform on, I don't think I'm really going to look quite right with a beard. Interesting court-martial, isn't it?
He's being given a haircut. Now railway tracks pass by in a blur. When he left the Royal Navy after 5 years' service, Prince Charles set about creating a new role for himself. From a train, Charles gazes out at passing countryside.
How did you define the role of Prince of Wales?
I didn't. I made it up as I went along.
Now, with papers in front of him, he takes in the view from his seat as he's flown up into the air.
I don't believe in having a totally honorary position. In fact, I leap in with both feet.
As a boy, Charles leaps into a dune and rolls in the sand with a smile. Making a difference. In inverted commas, I want to take risks. Black and white footage of young Charles riding a pony.
I was always brought up, you know, to worry about everybody else.
I think that is the basis of one's job, you know, to serve other people. If you feel that you can do something, then you can be of service.
I think it would be criminally negligent of me, you know, to go around this country and not actually want to try and do something about what I find there.
Charlie, don't forget us, darling!
Four lads having a kickabout in an ill-tended playground.
I remember thinking, I'm sure there's something I can do to help here. It was all taking so long, you know, for anything else to spring up. So I just felt whatever we could do in a small way would be better than nothing.
Being shown around a sports club.
Everybody has some sort of talent, I believe, which so often is underutilized and underexpressed and undervalued, that given a chance, they will develop talent if you take a chance with them.
The Prince's Trust was established in 1976, helping young people with business grants, education, and training.
Did they make you go down potholes and things like that?
Yes.
Rather you than me. I couldn't.
He uses someone's shoulder to sign a garment.
They're all coming. Good job.
A woman kissing Charles on the cheek, then a prison gate sliding shut, and a two-story block of barred windows.
And I kept saying I want to be able to take risks so that if it didn't work, it didn't work. But it was worth trying with the most difficult ones, the ones you find are hardest to reach in society.
Four men passing through a hall furnished with two pool tables. Then Charles reading from a letter at his desk.
From the age of 10, I've been in trouble with the law. I was put into the secure unit. It was a college of crime. I learned how to break into houses better. I learned how to steal cars better. I first heard about the trust when I was in prison. It was a chance for me to get the fresh start I had been looking for. My life is now about helping people rather than hurting people. I mean, it is rather wonderful then, isn't it? And so, you know, I'm going to write back to him.
Since it was established, the Prince's Trust has helped more than 1 million young people. Prince Charles on safari, crossing a dusty plain, then observing lions from a stationary 4x4.
My father, I listened to him a lot or talked to him a lot about his efforts, you know, with the World Wildlife Fund. And we did talk quite a lot about those sorts of things and what was happening in the world and with increasing threats to wildlife all around the world and their habitats.
A giraffe loping through the bush.
And I suspect I was probably quite influenced by that. But I was interested anyway.
Now, Charles is on an oil platform.
I remember that period of the 1960s only too well.
He's being escorted by a suited man in a hard hat.
And I felt deeply disturbed by what seemed to have become a dangerously short-sighted approach.
Now in black and white, he's giving a speech.
We are faced at the moment with the horrifying effects of pollution in all its cancerous forms.
Prince Charles made his first major public statement on the environment in 1970.
When you think that each person produces roughly 2 pounds of rubbish per day, I believe the Americans produce more per head, and there are 55 million of us on this island, using non-returnable bottles and indestructible plastic containers, it is not difficult to imagine the mountains of refuse that you shall have to deal with somehow.
In those early years, I was described as old-fashioned, out of touch, and anti-science, a dreamer in a modern world that clearly thought itself too sophisticated for obsolete ideas and techniques.
Pedaling a stationary bicycle.
But nothing could be further from the truth.
Now touring a huge control room with workers sat in front of screens and control panels.
I could see very clearly that we were growing numb to the sacred presence that all traditional societies still feel very deeply.
In a huge burst of flame and smoke, a rocket lifts off from a launch platform.
Like the children who followed the Pied Piper, we failed to notice how far we were being taken from our rightful home. What spurred me on was an essential fact of life, an undeniable law, that if we ignore nature, everything starts to unravel.
Charles, on a small island.
The necessary action hasn't been taken, has it? That's the problem. And I cannot believe that people can simply pay no attention to science. They accept it in every other aspect of modern existence, the evidence, but apparently not for climate change.
Walking through marram grass, Charles looks out to sea, where a bird flies low over gentle waves.
We need to think about what kind of world we're handing on to our successors, particularly grandchildren. so we don't ruin it for them.
Home movie footage of a road closed to allow preparations for a street party.
Do you have any thoughts about the lady that a Prince of Wales should marry?
Yes.
Family. In inverted commas, I'm a private person. A negative image of Charles and Diana being retouched under a magnifying glass.
Well, I suppose, you see, it's really difficult because people like you, perhaps, would expect quite a lot from somebody like that. And it's got to be somebody pretty special.
A street party in progress, and sheets of the portrait rolling off a postage stamp press. Women checking huge books of stamps, then the image of the smiling couple on a pair of 14 pence stamps. A house displaying Union Jacks and a poster of the couple. Prince Charles and Lady Diana Spencer married in the summer of 1981. A young woman feeding her crown-wearing toddler at a street party. Then the royal newlyweds stepping out onto the balcony at Buckingham Palace to be greeted by a cheering crowd that stretches all the way down the Mall. Now footage of Charles and his mother standing by as the Queen Mother cradles baby William. Diana takes the baby from her, and William sucks at her little finger. Charles smiles proudly. With William now on her knee, Charles and Diana are seated on a sofa.
Silly gaga.
When you have children of your own, you only then discover just what fun they can be, and how important they are. William is a spendy little character and very good natured. He's very outgoing, which is encouraging, which will be a great help to him, I think, later on.
Diana passing a rabbit to Harry to hold.
His brother Harry is. I think absolutely adorable, and he is extraordinarily good and sleeps marvellously and eats very well.
Let him have a look.
Do you want to have a look through there? You can see all those people at the other side.
Look through there. You see things going on inside. You see the faces. The people in there. Look at them. Trapped.
The camera's pointing towards a group of press photographers. Now Charles surrounded by a crush of pressmen.
I'm not very good at being a performing monkey. I think that I am quite a sort of private person. I mean, it is extraordinary how now you feel that wherever you are, there's somebody hiding behind something somewhere. I always think there's a camera now. Always.
Photographers rushing to snap a car's occupant, then standing on stepladders at an event.
They've written the agenda 9 times out of 10 before you go anywhere, including the script for a soap opera that they want to continue.
Stepladders festooned with cameras.
I don't think many other people have to go through this constant attention, not just me, but others, you know, when their marriages break down. Obviously, I'd much rather it hadn't happened. And I'm sure my wife felt the same.
A river flowing through a forest.
The trouble now is that, of course, our children are getting to the age where they read newspapers. And it's very upsetting them. I've learnt over the years, you know, to try and ignore it by just not reading most of it. Otherwise, you go bananas. But
With the children, I mean, what can you do if they read it? You can't stop it. You can't stop them seeing this sort of thing. It's very important to develop within as private an atmosphere as possible.
Archive film of a kilted Charles teaching Prince Harry to fish at the edge of a lock. Then vintage home movie of Charles as a boy being taught how to cast a line across a sprawling lawn by Prince Philip. William is holding his father's hand as they peruse floral tributes left at the gates of the Balmoral estate. Charles is wearing a green tweed jacket and a kilt. They join William, the Duke of Edinburgh, and the Queen, who's dressed in a black overcoat with matching hat and handbag. Prince Philip reads a message of condolence attached to one of the wrapped sprays. A picture of a somber Charles with the two boys dressed in black suits at the funeral of Princess Diana. Then guardsmen in red tunics carrying the coffin, which has been adorned with a scarlet and gold flag and white flowers. Flanked by pictures of Charles on royal tours, a royal ambassador, in inverted commas, everybody belongs. 1950s film of people standing in small boats under a blue sky at a harbour in Malta. Then, the royal yacht Britannia arriving. The Maltese flag fluttering in the breeze.
Given the fact that there's so many other things in other parts of the world and the Commonwealth and everything else, trying to get round everything, as you can imagine, is always a bit of a challenge.
Charles, as a small boy, is greeted by a dignitary in ceremonial regalia.
I've been, I suppose, sort of born and brought up in and surrounded by all this. So in a funny way, it almost becomes like second nature.
Now Charles, as a young man, is met by local VIPs as he steps off a plane on a visit to Fiji.
Being an incurable romantic, look upon the Commonwealth as an ideal, as representing principles which, if you're not careful, disappear.
Men bow and women curtsy.
The whole idea of monarchy, certainly as far as the Commonwealth is concerned, is a family, and that somehow everybody belongs.
Charles enjoying a joke with his hosts. The royal walkabout became a fixture of the prince's visits at home and abroad. A children's parade in New Zealand.
Ladies and gentlemen, His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales.
So do you really enjoy, you know, walking along with the row of the crowd and, you know, shaking hands? It doesn't seem possible that anyone could enjoy that.
Oh, why not? When you get used to it, you meet some frightfully amusing people.
Are you married?
No.
No. Perhaps you'll pick up somebody here.
I try as hard as I can by talking to as many people as possible. And the great advantage of my position is that I can go around and talk to anybody about anything. It is important to be honest and genuine, and people will always see that. They will always see through you if you're not.
He gets hugged.
They see him as a very serious person, which he is. But I would like a lot of people to see the lighter side of him.
Charles briefly struggling to keep up with the actions as he joins in with a circle of people doing the hokey-cokey. Charles skiing down a snowy mountainside.
It's very important to have, as it were, another world to go through a door into.
He slaloms around a marker.
Otherwise, I promise you, it's very easy to go mad.
He's wearing a plain grey ski suit and a red woolly hat as a cameraman follows him down the mountain at a discreet distance. He skis past tall fir trees, then out into the open once more.
When I first came here, after 11 years of not skiing, I had the most dreadful falls and crashes and landed on rocks and things. But you learn that way. The only way to learn is to take the falls.
He slows down and looks at the deep furrows in the snow behind him left by his skis. Flanked by a picture of Charles playing the cello and another of him sitting in a snowy landscape, Private Passions, in inverted commas, surviving the daily round. Charles water skiing across deep blue water, then trying his hand at windsurfing, before falling off the board.
I'm one of these hopeless characters who likes trying all sorts of things because it appeals to me. And I'm one of these people who doesn't like sitting and watching something else go on. I don't like going to the races and watching horses thundering up and down because I'd rather be riding the horse myself.
Charles on a chestnut mount, playing polo.
I like to see if I can challenge myself to do something which is potentially hazardous, just to see whether mentally I can accept that challenge and carry it out.
Wearing a redskin diving suit with silver air cylinders on his back, he drops through a square hole in an Arctic tundra into black waters. Air bubbles rise from his rebreather. Later, wearing a battered round hat, he triumphantly emerges from a tent to greet the press, his suit inflated with air.
Bloody cold.
Can I give me that?
What?
That's happened.
Well, I tell you, we put the air in here, you see, and if you now do an amazing...
As he lets the air out of the suit through a valve, he hunches over and pretends that he's deflating too. Then he straightens up with a boyish grin.
I always have the sense, though, that if you were not in this public position, you'd like to be an actor.
I love imitating and mimicking. Relax. I enjoy making people laugh if I can. And in a strange way, so much of what one does requires, I find, acting ability in one way or another. And it's extremely useful if you enjoy it.
So I start when the green light goes on, do I?
In the 50s, he toys with some cymbals on a boat. Then he's encouraged to conduct a military band by the bandmaster.
Music plays a very important part in my life. For me, it's a vital part of surviving the daily round. I started on the trumpet at school at Gordonston, and I played that quite a bit. I remember we had, in those days, in the early 60s, these marvelous music teachers who had escaped the Holocaust in Germany. And one of them stopped, I remember, at one point, and said, "Those trumpets," she said, "stop those trumpets." Anyway, I thought, well, time to come to try something else.
Playing the cello.
Sounds like a tiger.
That's right. Do you know what these are called? Strings. And then this inside, the way it's shaped, gives it the sound, which goes... It's got quite a good tone, you see?
Young Prince Edward plucks a cello string, then beams. Years later, the vaulted ceiling of Westminster Abbey. Charles is walking between the pews with his arms behind his back. He stops and listens to the choir of child and mature choristers. Resting a hand on one of the dark brown wooden pews, he smiles appreciatively as the choir master conducts the voices of the figures in white surplices with red collars.
We do not think music, we resonate with it and feel it.
It somehow harmonizes with our own human nature so that we feel something is meant by it.
The piece comes to an end, and Charles leans on the keys of the organ as he turns to the interviewer.
It's fantastic, I think. And of course, with a big choir, it must be even more remarkable, I would think. But it's very interesting, you see. It's those ones that make the whole difference, I think, those plays.
Home movies of Charles as a toddler with the Queen Mother.
I remember as a child when my grandmother used to take me to all sorts of performances.
Charles looking on as the Queen and the Queen Mother demonstrate a courteous bow from the waist.
And also all those marvellous memories of being read to as a child by my father, Hiawatha. Of all beasts, he learned the language, learned their names and all their secrets, how the beavers built their lodges, where the squirrels hid their acorns.
The adult Charles trying to attract a red squirrel at a window.
So funny, these creatures, they really do make me laugh. Talked with them whene'er he met them. Called them Hiawatha's brothers.
Black and white film of Charles as a boy trying to lead a calf by the rope looped around its neck. It backs away as he attempts to coax it.
I just always have loved the countryside. I love walking in it anyway. I find that, funny enough, walking is a terribly important thing for me. You know, rather like some people need a cigarette, I need a walk.
And to me, it may sound silly to say, but it's true in my sense anyway. Every tree and stone and burn and a bit of heather and actually means a great deal to me. I mean, I associate with them.
Charles painting a watercolour landscape.
Some people mellow as they grow older. I've noticed you seem to have got more passionate.
Well, yes, I am.
Hugging Prince Louis.
I mind so much about the future, what we're going to leave to our children and grandchildren. That's what really gets me going.
He's pretty impatient, as I think everybody who works for him will tell you, but that's how he gets things done.
Charles and Camilla are both using traditional walking crooks as they tramp through the countryside with a small black and white terrier trotting ahead of them on the path.
She's the best listener in the world. She does have a wonderful way with people, you see. That's the special thing, I think.
They walk through a wood.
Now, I'd love to tell him to pace himself, but I'm afraid that's not going to happen.
Camilla breaks into a wide smile. Archive film of the Queen in her pomp, inspecting the guards. Then in later years, Charles giving her a fond peck on the cheek.
Actually, I believe very strongly that the whole business of monarchy depends on continuity. I think the older you get, the more impact the sovereign can make on affairs.
Charles escorting his elderly mother across a stateroom.
To that extent, I believe it's very, very, very strongly that one should continue until the end of one's life. And I see no reason why the Queen should ever retire, if you like.
Tributes to the Queen after her passing, including one featuring an illustration of her walking hand in hand with Paddington Bear, multiple bunches of flowers, then vintage film of the Queen at the wheel of a military-style 4x4 on a country estate.
Queen Elizabeth was a life well lived, a promise with destiny kept, and she is mourned most deeply in her passing. to my darling Mama, as you begin your last great journey to join my dear late Papa, I want simply to say this. Thank you.
The Queen driving off into the sunset. Flanked by pictures of Charles as a young man with the Queen, and one of Charles with the grown-up William, Succession, like a farmer's son. Home movies of King George VI sitting on a stone balcony smoking a pipe and fussing over a corgi. A picture of Princess Elizabeth as a young woman with her father, then film of them together as she nurses baby Charles in her arms. The Queen waving to Charles the toddler from a window, then a casual picture of the pair leaning against a stone wall. A picture of Prince William as a child waving while his father looks on, then film of the pair watching sheep grazing in a field.
What did you think of that?
One, two, three, four.
Well done.
What sort of advice will the father be passing on to the son from all you've learned?
Charles helpfully lifting William over a low fence.
I hope that rather like a farmer's son following his father around the farm and picking things out, that I would hope that he would do the same in a sense.
Why do you come with me?
I'll come with you.
Half the battle, isn't it, is how to adapt without losing that element of continuity.
Accompanied by bodyguards, the new king and his consort Gladhand Wellwishers outside Buckingham Palace.
I too now solemnly pledge myself throughout the remaining time God grants me to uphold the constitutional principles at the heart of our nation. I shall endeavor to serve you with loyalty, respect, and love, as I have throughout my life.
Archive film.
Your Royal Highness, we've now come really full circle. You're now within days of this investiture of yours. What will that day mean to you personally?
I think it'll probably mean quite a lot. I do enjoy ceremonies, and I think that the British people do them so very well.
His Majesty the King. Archive film of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and lifeguards in silver helmets with tall plumes from the Queen's coronation.
One could be so cynical about this sort of thing and think, well, oh, it's only a ceremony and, you know, perhaps it's for television and, you know, it's just a show. But I like to think it's something a little bit more than that.
Gold stagecoach carrying the Queen through the gates of Buckingham Palace.
I think it'll be a marvellous day, probably. As long as the weather stays fine.
With thanks to His Majesty the King for the use of the Royal Archive. Copyright The Royal Household 2023. With thanks to the BFI National Archive for preservation and digital restoration of the Royal Collection of Films.
A royal insight into the music of Hubert Parry, the Prince and the Composer, over on BBC Four Now. And destiny awaits for Pip, Estella and Miss Havisham, the series finale of Great Expectations, next on BBC One.